Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the News Hour. Going to talk today about some real gunfire, some real guns. The book that I want to talk about is My Brother in Arms. It's an account of somebody that I didn't even know anything about the job description until I read the book, a combat controller. His brother, Thad Forrester, has written a book about his brother, Mark, who was a combat controller, and you just can't probably find anything much more dangerous to do than combat controller, and nobody gets drafted for that job. That's apparently one that you got to have a real desire to see the action, and I guess you're almost guaranteed to see action. Is that right, Thad?
It seems like it. Definitely where Mark was deployed, for sure.
Oh, my. I was just amazed at the tenacity with which he pursued. I mean, even when he's in a combat zone, I remember one of the notes I made, something was happening. I forget the circumstances, but he pushed somebody else out of the way so he could take point. He was one of a kind.
Yeah, and hopefully that's what, you know, the book portrays, and hopefully that's one thing the readers get from it. And, you know, one thing to be clear is I'm not some mourning brother trying to make Mark out to be some perfect superhero person. I mean, he had faults, and but he was definitely a step above the rest.
Oh, my. From what you've reported, I don't think there can be any doubt of that. Why don't you just describe for us what in the world is a combat controller? Because I certainly didn't know. Maybe people that are more familiar with military would know, but I certainly had never heard of it until I read your wonderful book, My Brother in Arms.
Yeah, most people don't know anything about it, even people in the Air Force. But it's a special operations component of the Air Force, and it's got a, you know, you'll hear people in other branches of the military who work with them will definitely admit, hey, that's a tough job, and you know, and we know the other guys that have the jobs like the SEALs and the Special Forces, Green Berets, and some of those guys, I mean, they definitely get the attention, and there's very hard training regiment with them. But the controllers have a, you know, some people would argue it's even an even tougher job. But they, one thing about them is they attach to other special operations teams. So you're not going to have the same combat controllers deploy together all the time. You're going to have one or two guys attached to a SEAL team, to a Ranger team, or, you know, an SF team, and they have to be able to blend with those guys and work with their lingo and their personalities. And so Mark was attached to an SF team in Afghanistan, and about halfway through his deployment, he got a new team. And so there's a whole new dynamic there to have to deal with. But I think you're asking what they really do, and really they're kind of the guys on the ground who control the aircraft and control the close air support. And so they're fighting, but they're also dropping the bombs and the shows of force and the strafing runs.
In other words, you can't get all the information you need for the Air Force, for the planes, for the helicopters, electronically. Somebody's got to be there on the ground with the ability to assess what he's seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's plenty of times when, you know, they shoot the grenades out and the smoke grenades and say, okay, 30 meters, where you see the red smoke, the enemy is, you know, north 30 meters, something like that. So, yeah, you got to have eyes on the ground because, obviously the guys in the air, whatever aircraft they're in, they can't see everything.
often, I guess, he was operating in or near a canopy of trees. There was a lot of concealment, not necessarily for him all the time. I remember one episode where you report that he was talking to somebody and said, "Well, can you see that tree line?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is that where you are?" He says, "No, I'm the dummy out in the middle of that field next to it."
Yeah, standing in the wide open field like a big dummy, yeah.
I don't think I would have been keeping him company, that's for sure. That's a pretty tough line of work, because, well, obviously you're physically fit, but you've got to have a... From what I gather, he was able to process all different kinds of information and situations simultaneously, which made him very valuable in his job description.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's you're maybe getting shot at, so you've got enemy coming at you. You've got your team. You're trying to get permission from maybe somebody farther away to do certain bomb drops, and so you've got multiple aircraft overhead. So you may have an AH-64 Apache. You may have an F-18. You know, and you've got to know what ordnance they can drop, and so there's a lot of things you got to process. And so these guys that are controllers, I mean, they're, to me, yeah, they're very impressive.
And I guess the job they do is pretty essential, because I don't know any other way you can get that kind of information and use the attack aircraft. I guess the specialty aircraft designed for close in support, and it's not going to happen nearly as effectively if there's not somebody there on the ground that is basically their eyes on the ground.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. And, you know, there's other branches of the military have their own version. Some of them do their own version of a combat controller that they may call I just went blank on the name. But anyway, the combat controllers, I mean, that's their specialty. So, yeah, that's why I think there's a lot of special operations missions around the world that, you know, the ones that we hear about and the ones we don't, that I think most of them have an Air Force combat controller attached to them. You just may not read. You may read, you know, a team of, you know, 8 SEALs or something, but lots of times there's a controller with them.
Interesting. And the main job then is to make sure that the air support is able to function maximally.
Correct. Correct. Or to set up an airfield if need be.
The you quote one of the one of his commanders, Colonel Hughes, who describes Mark going into battle with a smile. Now, I didn't get the impression that it was loopy. It's just that he was at ease. He was enjoying his work. He was not uptight.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you relate that to us, you know, whenever I've maybe moved or gotten a job that I know was right, that I know was that kind of like what is my mission or what God wants for me or my family, you know, I feel very confident in it and happy in it. And I think Mark knew he was doing he knew he was doing what he was supposed to be doing at the time. And it was his calling in life, and so at least for a period. And so he really enjoyed it and didn't really flinch at the opportunities to take the fight to the enemy.
From what you know of his death, it seems that he was not only in battle, because he was close enough to get shot, but he was given as good as he was getting from the forensic information from the autopsy. Pretty evident that he had his rifle raised and was probably firing when he got shot.
Yeah, that's the way it looks in bio accounts of the few people that were nearby. And this was a situation where you talk about the tree line earlier. You know, the canopy there provided protection not only from the enemy, but also at times the aircraft even just trying to see Mark. Because, you know, there were Apaches right above that were very low, and they couldn't do anything.
It was just all so close and so undercover. My goodness, that's just hard for me to imagine. I'm very grateful that there are people like your brother that are willing to do that. I'm going to be back and talk some more with Thad Forrester. My Brother in Arms is a wonderful account of his air controller brother, Mark Andrew Forrester.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
The human body is extraordinary, despite all the stress we inflict upon it. Thousands of people across the country use an extremely effective product to help their bodies stay balanced. It's Heart and Body Extract, an all-natural herbal formula designed to help maintain healthy blood pressure, clean arteries, promote good circulation, and balance cholesterol. Heart and Body Extract, along with good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free from pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of Heart and Body Extract. Learn more and read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers at heartandbody.com. Heart and Body Extracts offers a lifetime guarantee with no price increase in over 14 years. For free info, call 866-295-5305 now. That's 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com. Distributor inquiries welcome. 866-295-5305.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. And ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit criticalhealthnews.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join our Critical Health News team. Go to criticalhealthnews.com. That's criticalhealthnews.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Okay, folks, we're talking today about a specialty occupation, the aircraft, the combat controller in the Air Force is a guy who is, he may fly planes from time to time, but he's the one on the ground. He's giving the assessment of what is happening so that tons of steel that are flying nearby can drop their ordnance and fire their artillery in an effective fashion, even when they probably can't see what they're doing. They're counting on guys like Mark Forrester, who was a combat controller in the Air Force, to give them that report from the ground as to where they need to be and what they need to do. And sometimes they will hear, "We need you now." It gets pretty intense during this job. And I just continue to be very impressed that somebody would actually seek this out. Apparently he was motivated after September 11 to do something like this.
He was. You know, in 01, he was serving as a full-time missionary for our church. So here he was in service, you know, to others, and 9/11 happened, so he knew that when he got home and he'd always planned on going to college and getting a 4-year degree. And so it was kind of a burning inside of him to say, I need to do my part to help fight evil and defend our freedoms. And so that was his plan. He didn't at that point know in what way, you know, what branch, but he studied it out while he was in school and went to San Antonio and ended up meeting some combat controllers, and that's how it happened. I mean, he didn't know about them either not long before he decided that's what he was going to do.
It just seemed that he wanted to be where the action would be most likely to take place, where it would be most likely to be intense. He was that kind of guy, and apparently it wasn't all that surprising because he was certainly not a bookworm, even though he was quite a good student, but he was not a bookworm growing up. He was always out doing kind of adventurous things, we could say.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, we grew up on a lot of land, and playing outside was just what we did. And we came in when Mom rang the bell, and we could hear it from quite a ways away in the woods. And you know, and one reason, I mean, one thing Mark did to make sure he got in the action as much as possible is he enlisted instead of going in as an officer. You know, he had a 4-year degree, and everybody said, "Mark, you're dumb. Go in as an officer. We have a brother in the Air Force. He's a doctor." He's like, "Mark, come on. You don't want to enlist." And so Mark felt like his opportunities to get better deployments would be increased if he enlisted. So he went in and started from the ground up. He enlisted when he was 26. So he was in basic training with a lot of 18-year-olds. And, you know, clearly he was more mature than most at the time. And I think that just continued with him throughout the pipeline. And the instructors knew that this guy was definitely prepared.
Definitely prepared and definitely motivated. Wow.
Yeah.
So seems like he was very much a straight arrow from your description. He would actually go and tell somebody to cool it on the potty mouth.
That happened at times. I mean, that's, you know, once again, I'm not trying to make him out to be perfect at all, but he was consistent in his standards, and we found this out. I mean, I knew that anyway, but you know, when you're across the other side of the world and you're in a very high stress environment, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen that you just normally wouldn't do in your everyday life. And so, by all accounts, when people say this guy, I mean, he was consistent no matter what, and he was also very, you know, friendly, and so he wasn't preachy at all, but there were times when he maybe asked somebody to cool it a little bit, or hey, look, there's families around, you know, in their training in the States. Mm-hmm. There's families around. You know, you're quiet. You're in the wrong. Don't talk like that.
And that's it's not surprising that he would have those opportunities, because one of the things that struck me over the years is that police and probably to a considerable extent military, if you can make a generalization, might be want to use some pretty off-color language, and sometimes just in routine conversation, it seems to go with the job description. I don't know. So it kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you take a military, and yeah, that's the norm for sure.
So that would make him stand out, and yet, as you say, he didn't apparently come across as preachy because he wasn't. At least you don't report him being resented by people as, oh, here comes that goody two shoes.
Yeah, you know, at least I've wanted everyone to be honest with me when I researched his time deployed and even his time in the training pipeline. So, yeah, it sounds like everybody just respected him. So that's Forrester. And, you know, we tease him at times because he doesn't drink and he doesn't smoke and he doesn't swear. But, you know, we respect him because he's consistent in his beliefs no matter the circumstance.
And as they got into combat, they realized that's a guy you want to be around.
Yeah. Yeah, he you know, think about his first deployment. His first and only deployment was to an area to, at the time, it was called Five Cobra. I mean, that was the most coveted area for combat controllers because, you know, you were guaranteed to get so much action at the time.
That FOB is what, Forward Operating Base?
Correct. Okay. Correct. And, yeah, there were people that were not happy about him going because, you know, they felt like they'd earned it. They had more deployments under their belt, so they had the experience. But his leaders said, you know, he's ready. And so I think, fortunately, he was able to start proving himself, you know, right away once he got to base and got to work.
I like the one comment that you grabbed from somebody that you had interviewed, a fellow by the name of Jason Stanley. He only saw Mark get excited about two things, America and Chick-fil-A.
At Chick-fil-A, that was a big part of our life for sure.
That wouldn't be a bad epitaph for anybody, you know?
You're right, exactly. Yeah, we frequent, well, I try to lay off the Chick-fil-A shakes because of the, you know, the fat and the cows, but once a year on his birthday, I at least get one.
Well, he would have had trouble with that because you say he had lactose intolerance, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he kept a pill nearby.
It's Chick-fil-A supply. All right. Well, good. Now, I'm going to, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about video games because it struck me kind of funny when you mentioned it in his life. Anyway, we're talking about my brother in arms, Mark Andrew Forrester, and his brother Thad has written a book about this exceptional guy. We'll be back.
So Mark and I were talking about these looters, you know, in Baltimore and in Ferguson. It seems like every time there's some kind of an upset, the looters come out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm a small business guy. Mark's a small business guy. And we go to guns80.com and we get our AR-15 kits. And we get our 30-shot magazines, and we're ready for the looters, if you get my drift. Hello. Don't wait for the powers that be. Go to guns80.com. Guns80.com. Guns80.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed results I have with your product. I've suffered with constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I no
noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past 2 years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Are you suffering from EP? The symptoms include fraudulent charges to your credit card. Your Subway card says it's empty, but you bought it yesterday. Someone's been in your hotel room, but the desk clerk says they only show you entering the room. These are signs of EP, electronic pickpocketing. Payment cards, transit cards, even hotel room keys use a radio chip, so you can just wave your card at the register, the turnstile, or your hotel room door. But what's convenient for you is also convenient for thieves, waving scanners to electronically pickpocket you without even touching you. The good news is there's a cure. ID Stronghold has created leather wallets and clutches that have built-in EP protection. Layers of shielding material cleverly concealed in a beautiful leather wallet that stops the symptoms of EP. Go to IDStronghold.com now and get the cure. IDStronghold.com. Warning, ID Stronghold wallets could lead to feelings of safety and security, comfort in crowds, and euphoria. If you experience these emotions, immediately inform your friends and family about IDStronghold.com so they can feel better too.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Well, we're talking today about combat. And a guy that had been in combat, his brother Thad Forrester, has written a book, My Brother in Arms. His brother, Mark Andrew Forrester, was a combat controller. It's an Air Force very specialty type of assignment. And as we were describing, he's the guy out on the point of the spear, helping the aircraft in the area be as precise and useful as possible and hopefully not blow up their own guys. I guess Mark would have been one of those with that same hope because this was up close. This was and very fast moving. So the amount of precision and steely nerves had to be pretty considerable. But I'm going to have trouble, I think, with my grandchildren who I think abuse video games, because you've made the observation that actually it's pretty good prep for one of these combat controllers.
Turns out it was, yeah. He definitely spent some time on some video games in college, and there were many nights when we lived together and when he was in college where I went to bed and he was up for hours, him and some other friends playing.
And who would have thought it was preparation for what he was going to do after 9/11?
Yeah, I know. And then, in fact, he played some, you know, in the military, and his skills just continued. I think he impressed a lot of people in the same career field.
Well, who would have thought? One of his underlying motivations really kind of made my heart thump. He was asked, well, why do you want to do this? You were saying, you know, guy, you've got a college degree. Why don't you become an officer? And his answer, more than once, apparently, from what I gather in the book, My Brother in Arms, was, I want to kill bad guys. That I think that's what God wants me to do.
Yeah. I mean, it was a matter of fact statement, and it wasn't. He wasn't saying it to joke. I mean, there was a little bit of maybe some tongue in cheek to it, but really, that's what he felt. Is and there's an instance that I talk about is in basic training. This happened, more than once for sure, but probably the first time was in basic training, and the instructors were going around saying, "Why do you want to be in the Air Force?" And each guy would say some typical answer, to prepare me for college or prepare me for the rest of my life or it's a tradition or, whatever. Uh-huh. And Mark, with a stone cold face, says, "God told me to kill terrorists." And, it floored, everybody. And so the same thing happened once he got in the training pipeline and, silent, awkward silence. And that was a conviction that he had. And he felt strongly about it, that he was here to help protect the innocent and our freedoms and to destroy those who try to take that from us.
That has got to blow up a lot of liberal heads who, for one thing, have trouble really thinking that there's good and evil, and if there is, we're the bad guys, and the others are just victims of what we've done in the world. And he didn't have any of those hang-ups, that's for sure.
No, I mean, I hope that's one thing that people get from the book is, of course, they should get it from all kinds of sources, but there really are evil people out there trying to kill us because of our way of life. And if we sit back and do nothing, that's what they'll do. And so we need men like Mark and the many good men and women in the military to help protect us and to keep that from happening.
Well, I was glad to get the report from this village elder that you had in the book. He had interacted with Mark, and I guess he was saying this, of course, after Mark had been killed, and this elder said that he hoped that Americans understand that not all Afghans are Talib. And I thought, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, certainly. And there's, my gut is like, I'm not going to trust any of them. But, there are some good ones. There has to be. And Mark definitely showed some affection towards the kids. And you can read about that and them, taking them candy and spending time with them and working with some of them on the alphabet, the English alphabet. And then I know there was one interpreter in particular that Mark really liked. And we've been in touch with him multiple times since, him and his broken English. But Mark really liked that guy, even though he was Afghan.
I would imagine the interpreter is nearly as gutsy a guy as anybody else you're going to find, because if he's going to be interpreting, he has to be kind of out where it's all happening.
I think so, and I think too it's very risky just because of the other people in this country that don't agree with what he's doing. Maybe they think he's a traitor or something. And
you and I can leave a combat zone, but those poor guys, they never leave.
No, and I know that he's definitely been in harm's way, and not on the battlefield, but just because of his job that he did. He's expressed that to us before.
Any thought of ever helping him find a line of work somewhere else, getting him out of there?
Well, he's trying to do that, and working with the U.S. Embassy, I believe, maybe in Germany. I can't remember if that's it or what location, but he's trying to get him and his family out of there. And so we have tried to put him in touch with someone at an embassy, and that's as far as we've gone.
Well, I hope you're successful, because I think somebody like that needs to be taken care of. They, I've heard of them having been savaged later on, and it really grieves me to think that we would leave them behind.
Yeah, certainly.
So, let's see. I enjoyed reading that there was some kind of instant gratification, if you will, when they would go into these areas and they would clear out the Taliban. It made it so that people that had been forced out of their homes were able to return.
Absolutely. I mean, and sometimes it was a matter of a day later you know, yeah, it was instant. And even the area Mark was killed in the village, excuse me, called Shamashat, and or sometimes it was the area was referred to as Jangalak. And basically the reports I got were immediately after that day, commerce opened back up in that area. And even though Mark and another American, Calvin Harrison, were killed that day, and some Afghan nationals, we still at least came out ahead as far as clearing the area from Taliban control that hadn't been free from it for many years.
I hope the area is still clear. It would be a shame to think that he paid such a price and it was only temporary.
I agree, and I don't know the answer to that, but that's definitely something to think about.
One of the things that came to mind, one of the teammates had said that Mark was a guy who ran toward the sound of enemy fire, always made his way to the front of the formation. The thing that came to my political mind was back in, I guess it was 96, when Pat Buchanan was running for president, and people had asked, well, how can you help? How can they help? And he said, just run to the sound of the fire. Go wherever you're needed, in other words. And that's a kind of a cute thing to say in a political campaign, but it's a little bit different when you're talking about being a combat controller.
Yeah, you know, I remember Mark telling me when he was in, I think, Sears School, and how they were going over, it was a POW situation, and they asked for a volunteer. Or they were wanting someone to be there, the POW.
And so if it was a risky job,
he volunteered, and they said,
Forrester's hand went up right away, I bet you. Talking with Thad Forrester, the brother of Mark Andrew Forrester, who has had a book written about him by his brother, My Brother in Arms. It's a really neat read, folks. Be right back.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today about a soldier's soldier, Thad Forrester, who was a combat controller for the United States Air Force, fought in Afghanistan. And his brother, Thad, has written this book about Mark, My Brother in Arms. We've been talking about that. The kind of person that's out there on the point fighting for this country. And he's not just a one-dimensional guy. He wasn't just a soldier. He actually had other interests in life, and one of them was a gal he was kind of serious about. And they sort of had different paths in life, it turned out, and I thought it was great the way you summed it up. She had a T-shirt that said John 3:16 on it, and his T-shirt said Infidel.
Yeah, interesting comparison there. Yeah, which of course in no way means that Mark didn't believe in the John 3:16, because he certainly did. But yeah, that was I think that kind of summed up their relationship, and it just really ended up, it was not going to go any further. But they were on good terms, and at one point he definitely wanted to marry the girl, and we've been in touch, and I know she's married now, but I know she struggled for a long time with Mark's death.
Oh, I can bet. Well, she was serious about her interest in Christianity. She had gone to Spain to study, I guess, teaching, English is a second language or something like that. But anyway, she'd gone to Spain as part of her preparation. So she was pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she was, no doubt. So they were, you know, it's just one of those things where religion was was very important to both of them, and they just couldn't really get on the same page exactly.
Well, as it turned out, I guess the tragedy of Mark's death solved that problem. Wow, that's a heart tugger. One of the descriptions of Mark's activity, and I don't remember the context, maybe you can fill it in, but one of his, I guess it was a Captain Curry, recalled that at one point the only vehicle available was a golf cart, And there goes Mark attacking the enemy in a golf cart.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if he was really attacking or if he was just kind of exposing himself more than he should have with in a golf cart. But, yeah, that was definitely one of the Apache pilots sharing that with us, that he there was Mark in the most sophisticated vehicle in Afghanistan.
Well, I guess in Afghanistan that could be a fairly sophisticated vehicle.
Right, right.
So, what kind of plans do you think Mark had had he been able to come back from this tour of duty?
Well, he was never he never planned to be a career military guy. Mark really his biggest desire was to get married and have a family, and he had wanted that all along. He just you know just hadn't happened yet, which is okay. I mean, he was 29 when he was killed, and that was a priority of his, but he wasn't going to sit around and just, you know, wait for the right girl to fall in his lap. I mean, he was looking, but he also continued with his career. So that's what he wanted, and he and I talked a lot about what we could do together as brothers, you know, and to start a business with his skills. And we hadn't pinpointed, but we knew with his skills and experience, man, we could do something, and we could work together and have a little family business. But it was never figured out.
I find it remarkable that a guy that had such a desire to go kill bad guys also had other dimensions, and he didn't see that as the way he was going to spend his whole life, at least while he's physically at his prime, to be able to do things like that, and that he was going to come back and be another guy just like the rest of us.
Yeah, he wanted to be, and you know, this Mark had a near photographic memory. So, and you know, he never, the grades he got in school, he could have done even much better, but you know, he didn't have to study hard. And he was one of those people that we all know that kind of makes you mad when they don't study and they still get a better grade than you when you do study a lot. So
it's hard to like people like that. It's very hard to like people like that.
Yeah, and you know, he had a degree in business finance, and he could have done something with that, but although that really wasn't him.
You know, I saw something in common with the American Sniper. You reported that Mark did not delight in violence and killing. What he was trying to do was serve his country and protect his teammates. And if Chris Kyle had something that he would say that I remember was something very similar to that, that he was the American Sniper because he was out there protecting people.
Yeah, I mean, the liberal media that wants to portray our military as cold-blooded savages are just way off the mark. And I'm sure there may be a few bad apples there that way. But you think of, yeah, I know how Chris Kyle was portrayed, and I think about Mark, and they didn't delight in the bloodshed, but they had a mission and they had a job. And, hey, somebody's got to do it. I mean, nobody wants their kid to go to war, I'm sure, or their brother or anyone they love. But we got to have some good people out there doing it. And fortunately, we had people like Chris Kyle and people like Mark and many others.
I've seen the phrase used before, and I think you used it. He was a born sheepdog. I've read about people that have been in military, been police particularly, and they view themselves as sheepdogs, that they were born to protect even those that don't necessarily even appreciate what they're doing. They have a mission in life to protect. And I think the metaphor of the sheepdog is probably a very apt one.
Oh, yeah. Sure is. You know, Dave Grossman wrote about that, and I think that just applies to Mark and many others, but I loved applying that to Mark and his whole life, actually.
So quite an amazing outlook, really. I find it exceptional that he would volunteer for this kind of intense military engagement, and yet he didn't even see that as a career. This was just something that he felt called to do, and he was going to do it for that season, and then he was going to do other things in life. And that, I'd like to say again, that's not what I think the liberal worldview can understand. They just can't imagine that. Well, for one thing, they have trouble accepting the idea that there are bad guys like Islamic extremists or just bad guys for no good reason at all, and that somebody needs to deal with them. And they have trouble with that. And obviously, Mark didn't have any trouble with that at all.
No, he accepted his mission, and he fulfilled it. I mean, he not only fulfilled it, he magnified his calling on Earth.
You know, I was very touched with the way you described the, you think of the military especially as kind of an awkward bureaucracy, and they do what they do well, which is to kill people and destroy things. But then when it comes to other things, hurry up and wait. It's sort of the motto. And yet the way they handled reporting to the family that Mark had been killed, I thought was very moving.
Oh, yeah, and we feel very strongly about that process, how it happened. I mean, they didn't send just some local Air Force rep from a base close to us. They sent people who knew Mark, who were his trainers, who were his teammates, commanders, whoever they were. And Mark had wanted, he had requested simultaneous notifications with myself and also with my parents if anything happened to him. And they did it. And the behind the scenes work that to make that happen, you know, was not easy. And they had to, you know, airplanes and cars and staking out houses, but they did it the right way. And what's also great is they've really kept in touch and taken great care of us.
So he obviously didn't think he was invincible, because he had made these very specific requests that if I don't make it back, here's what I would like to have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know from some conversations he had had. Well, even conversations I had with him, it just seemed like, you know, the amount. We didn't tell each other we loved each other, rarely, right? Brothers normally just don't do that a lot. But
right.
While he was deployed, for sure, that started increasing in how often he would tell me that. And so, I think it was on his mind at least a little bit.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Listen, we've been talking with Thad Forrester, a book about his brother, Mark Forrester, My Brother in Arms, a United States Air Force combat controller. It's a real doozy. What an occupation, even if only for a season. Thad, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great being here. Thank you.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.